Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, lock on. Peace.
Are you ready for some football? Because Thursday night is, besides being the FSP crew show night, is also the, especially this week, the first week of Thursday night football on the NFL Network. It's 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'm your host, JT, joined by my two co-hosts, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. As usual, on the FSP crew show, we engage in conversation and give you information about the world of fantasy, sports, and politics. We got a decent show in store for you tonight. Great show in store for you tonight. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say that to you again. If you have a comprehension problem, I'll say it to you again. 347-637-3220. The chat room is open. I'm sitting in there. If you don't want to call in, you'd rather not call in and converse with us about a question, comment, or statement that you want to make, you can do it in the chat room. It's open for your convenience because that's how we do on this show. And without further ado, let me bring in my two co-hosts and we can get this show started. Let's bring in my Jersey guy first. No reflection on you, Black, but I'm bringing in Joker first and then Black.
Hello, everyone. Are you ready for the football?
Black, you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm making a couple of adjustments here, trying to get it in before the game starts. But, yes, welcome, people. Welcome to the show.
All right, guys. As you know, it's Thursday night football at 8 o'clock. It's 8:05 to be exact, so your rosters have to be set very shortly because the fact is the game starts. And let's go, before we go any further, when's the game start? 8 or 8:30? Hello?
I believe it's 8:20, right?
I think
8:20,
it's 8:20.
Is that what it is? Okay. So we got time to put a roster together here, okay? So whoever you have at quarterback in this game, I suggest you put him in. I have a funny feeling this may be a shootout, even though Chicago has a better defense than Green Bay. I like the tight end, Jermichael Finley on Green Bay. I like Jordy Nelson on Green Bay. I like the surprise, one of the surprises, I don't know how much a surprise he's going to be, but a surprise as in Randall Cobb. He's been one of the bigger pickups. Plus the fact is, I've seen it on a few websites that McCarthy says he's going to get more involved in the offense, being used, including being a wide receiver. He's going to be used in the backfield, so he's going to get a lot of touches. We'll see what happens tonight to see if that's going to hold true. I also like James Jones. If Jennings doesn't play, James Jones may play a prominent role in here as a big-time play receiver. Also, on the other side, you know the names there. Besides Cutler, you play Matt Forte. You can even play the Vulture And I'm not even going to call him by his real name. I'm going to call him the Vulture because that's what he is. Matt Forte's not too happy with it because he's taken away. He does all the work, gets the team down in the red zone, like the 5-yard line or whatever that, and out he comes and in comes the Vulture. For those who don't know who the Vulture is Michael Bush, and also the big stud, the six foot five wide receiver, Jay Cutler's BFF, which is Brandon Marshall. I don't know who I'm leaving out.
Alshon Jeffrey. That's who you're leaving out.
Okay. Now, any you guys want to comment on any of those players on either side of the ball, or either side of the either Chicago or Green Bay? You throw it out there. It's open for whatever you want to say. I'll start with Black first, and then we'll go to Jeff.
I think this might be a high-scoring game. I think Finley will have two TDs tonight. So all you Finley owners, I'm predicting a big game for Finley tonight.
It looks like a high-scoring game, and looks like a good game, too. Two big rivals, and people tend to exaggerate a little after week one, but Packers lost opening game at home, which they're usually tough at home, and this one is also at home, so you don't want to start off the season 0-2 at home, but Pack is going to show up, and Jennings is officially out, but Rodgers has a lot of weapons, so Cobb and James Jones will step up, and maybe Green Bay will establish a running game, but their passing game is so good they don't need to, but sometimes it comes in handy, so.
What about you? Either one of you want to talk about anything on the Bears side?
Well, I got what you said about Michael Bush, and, I mean, he did get the two touchdowns, which is huge, but, you know, that's just for one game, so you don't know if it's going to be like that every week. But they definitely, they like Bush, they like Forte, and, you know, if they can, they like to run the ball, and it's only 1 week, but this is the best-looking Bears offense since I can remember. You know, the fans are optimistic. It looks like they got a good group. And the thing, you know what I don't like about these Thursday night games? I mean, they can play football 7 days a week, I'd be happy. But for fantasy, it sometimes forces you to make decisions a few days early because on one of my teams, I'm starting Michael Bush. I probably would have started him anyway as the flex, but it would have been nice if I could have waited till Sunday. So that's the tricky part of these Thursday night games sometimes.
Okay. I got another caller on the line, and I'm going to bring him in like this. I saw on a chat, it says, if you're going to talk it, excuse me, change your pads since you're feeling like that, who happens to be Mr. Vic Gardner. Hello, Mr. Gardner. How are you tonight?
What's going on? Change your pads?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Change your pads since you're feeling like that. So you and your BFF must be fighting with each other. Is that what it is?
Yes. Don't listen to Jerry. Ricky stepped out of line when he was on a chat board, and I had to let him know, yeah, he got his victory. C.J. Spiller pulled it out for him. But, you know, he's talking about it must be first in the month for him. So, yeah, you need to go change your pads, you know, since it's going to be like that. But anyway, I wanted to talk about a couple things since you guys are on the air. And is Black here yet?
Good evening, Mr. Gardner. And how are you tonight?
What is your purpose for looking for Black tonight?
I just wanted to say hi to you since I already acknowledged Jeff. I didn't want to leave you out like the Cowboys always leave out their players. I respect you and I love it, but you know, hello.
Let me let you know that your week is coming, sir. Your week is rapidly approaching.
It is coming. Two things. Before I forget, I wanted to comment on what Jeff was saying in reference to the Thursday night football games and the fantasy implication. He's absolutely right about, you know, having to play a player now that you would probably like to wait till Sunday to play. Like right now, in another league that Jerry and I are in, guys with big shoes, I have to play four of my nine players right now. Like I'm playing Jay Cutler, Matt Forte, Jordy Nelson, well, three of them. And then, you know, the rest of my players are hitting on Sunday or Monday night. And I had a choice.
Well, what's wrong with the guys that you named playing tonight?
Nothing.
And Cutler?
No, listen, what I'm saying is that I believe that I also have Michael Bush in this league. I also believe that Michael Bush is going to score maybe once or twice in this game, but I don't want to take Run DMC out. I don't want to take Run DMC because he's going against Miami's run defense, which gave up a lot of gave up two touchdowns to Arian Foster, but not a lot of yards. You know, so it's I was torn in that situation, but the beauty about these Thursday night games, now that they're doing them every week, and I foresee it, and a lot of people probably saw it as well. Once the NFL Network becomes regular programming for cable, all NFL games will be coming on the NFL Network, a bunch of them. I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that before I moved on.
Well, why would you say that? You think that that's going to happen?
You think CBS, Fox are going to give up their contracts when all games will be on NFL Network?
Vic? Hello?
I'm sorry. I hit the mute button because my kids just walked in. What I'm saying is that once the NFL Network becomes more mainstream to everybody, it's going to be easier for them to just put on whatever games they want, meaning the big games, you know, like the game that everybody wants to see. So they're going to say, well, you can have the Jaguars versus the Vikings because it's not a Thursday night feature. But if you want to see, let's say, Cowboys and the Giants, you want to see Packers and 49ers, you're going to have to get NFL Network on your cable package to watch that game that night. Because how many people are going to miss this game? How many folks are going to miss this game tonight? Just think about that. And it's a marquee game. So just want to get your thoughts on that before I move to the next subject.
I don't foresee that ever happening. The Fox has a great NFC package. CBS has a great AFC package. Unless the NFL Network outbids them, I don't see that ever coming to fruition there. That would just be crazy.
Well, they're not outbid them because they want the sponsorship. They want the money. But what I'm saying is the marquee game is the one they're going to...
They can have a Thursday night game. That's fine. It can go like how it goes right now. They can have one key marquee game, but there's so many matchups from week to week. I don't see the NFL Network snatching up anything and then coming on the Sunday with their broadcast. They can have the one marquee game for Thursday night. I think that's how the deal will work out.
Well, I thought it was interesting. Anybody else before I jump on Jerry?
You know, it's possible. You know, I thought years ago the NFL would start trying to get into pay-per-view. So it might take a while, but... you know, the thing is, of course, the NFL wants the NFL Network to carry as many games as possible because that's them. So I could see the role of NFL Network growing. And already, second half of the season, they have flexible scheduling for the Monday night games because sometimes the games they schedule aren't that hot. So they could start doing that, just say, oh, you know, this is the big game this week. We'll move it to the NFL Network. It's possible.
Okay. Mr. Taylor.
Now, what did you want to say? That you wanted to step on me? Is that what you said? Or
No. I recall we had a conversation at the beginning, well, prior to the NFL season, that we needed to get on tape and we needed to get on the record. So I wanted to make sure I got on the record before I forgot it.
Okay.
Jerry and I made an agreement, and I believe this was in the ESPN league, that with our trade of our draft picks, I got his second and third. He got my first and whatever. But the added stipulation to that is this, gentlemen. If Mr. Taylor finishes in the worst part of the brackets, meaning he has a bad record this year and ends up in the top six, I don't get his first-round pick next year. I get his second-round pick. But if he finishes rather high, meaning in the playoffs, I get his first-round pick next year. Now, I think that's a rather great deal on my part because, yes, I lost the first-round pick this year, but I also obtained an additional first-round pick next year or a early second-round pick, whichever one. I'll take them both. And I don't have to give up like a sixth or a fifth for it. So I just want to get you guys' thoughts on that that addition to that trade that Jerry and I made.
It was a very foolish trade. Picks are very, very valuable, and you just throw picks around like they're pieces of tissue in the tissue box. Shame on you.
Absolutely.
Shame, shame, shame on you.
Absolutely.
Jerry or me?
Well, on me, because the fact is he thinks – because I lose a first round pick, that I won't be able to. Or I think very, I take my picks very lightly. Let me put it that way. He thinks I take my picks very lightly, which I don't. But I think I can outdraft Mr. Gardner every year. So I don't have.
I don't have
a problem giving him a supposed advantage when I know I can outdraft him, which I have every time, except for the first time I was in his league.
Whatever.
I've outdrafted him every time.
No, you haven't.
So.
No, you haven't.
Well,
whatever.
Now we're sounding like Ricky and Vic, but that's okay.
No. I just want to get that on the record. I just want to get it on the record so that everybody knows.
Not a problem.
But
not
a
problem.
That you guys do the show and whatnot because you guys are outstanding. And I don't know if Jerry mentioned this or not, but Fantasy Sports Channel has picked up every program that we air now. So every program we air will be aired on Fantasy Sports Channel on Blog Talk Radio. I believe
now,
this show
tell them it's live. Live.
Yes, live. This show, I believe, is live right now, along with Saturday's show, and I'm not sure if Friday or Sunday show. But three of these shows will be aired live and then re-aired throughout the entire week. So our numbers and listeners will grow. So I just want to let you guys know that you guys are outstanding. And you're going to bring in a lot more listeners by the banter and stuff that we do. So I just want to put that out there as well. Thank
this
you.
Needs to be reflected in my paycheck. Thank you.
Or it will be. Let me double what you get right now. How about that? Although I am going to send you to the Olympics, Pimp. I'm going to send you to the Olympics. So don't worry about
Brazil,
that.
Brazil.
Anyway, we were talking about the game. Okay, any thoughts on who's going to win this game? It's about to start. You know the particulars on who's on who, on what team, who's playing. So I'm going to go around the horn. I'm starting with Joker. Then the other guy who's on the East Coast, Black. And then we'll take the guy who happens to be on the left coast at last.
My gut is It's the Packers. I mean, the Bears look good, but that's just 1 week. And I think very potent Packer passing game gets back on track.
Black.
For fantasy purposes, I would like the Packers to win, but being a Cowboy fan, I would like this game to end in a draw, maybe 24-24 or 27-27. So I'm going to go for the tie tonight.
You're going to go for a tie. Oh, my God. You know what? That's hilarious. Ought to call you the Joker. But I've got so much invested on the Bears tonight, I have no choice but to root for the Bears. I'm going to break it down like this. No Greg Jennings means Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and James Jones are going to have to step up majorly tonight. I believe there's going to be an emphasis on Cedric Benson running the ball because, yes, he ran against a fantastic San Francisco 49er defense last week and didn't get to show what he really can do. I think they're going to try to run kind of hard on this Bears defense where Brian Urlacher has only played a half a game, which was last week, and he's not really in game shape. But I think they're going to do that to compensate for that. Also, look for Jermichael Finley to have another great game versus the Bears. He's done that. I think it's going to be a shootout. I'm looking more 27-35, somewhere in that area, with the Bears coming out on top. And Packers going 0-2.
Well, I see that.
Is Alshon definitely a sneaky play tonight?
You know, for in my opinion, Alshon Jeffrey, I wouldn't say he's a sneaky play. You can put him in there. I think you're. In this case, I would say he's a. I wait one more game. I saw what he did on the first game. I'm gonna wait to see what he's gonna do in this game before I decide to put him in on a regular basis. If Cutler happens to go to him quite often. And he also is targeted in the red zone. Then he's definitely a play week to week, but he's a rookie. I know he's got the size and height and all. But I have to see. I got to see it for myself in his second week before I can actually say I would put him in the lineup. Tonight I wouldn't put him in the lineup. I know that the Packers are a weak pass defense. If you don't have any other alternatives, you can put him in there. But you probably drafted him pretty late down in the your draft, so you probably drafted an alternative or someone at a higher ranking to play your number wide receiver too. So I would wait and see how Alshon Jeffrey plays tonight before I decide on how I want to play him in the future. I don't know if anybody else has got any comments on that.
Of course, you know I do.
Of course.
Honestly, you want to be truthful about it? Alshon Jeffrey is going to be the number two wide receiver for the Bears. I mean, a permanent number two wide receiver for the Bears. I'd say by week five. Another big body guy who's going to overplay or outplay his draft position and will be another reason why Jay Cutler is going to be a Pro Bowl top quarterback. I've probably, if I had no other viable option, I would play him tonight. If I'm in one of these 16-team leagues, I'm like in three of them, yeah, I'd play him. But in a regular 10-12-team league, no. I would not play him just yet. I'd like Jerry said, give him a week or two, see what he can do, and from there, you decide. But tonight's going to be a good test because Green Bay secondary is one of the worst, and if he can't perform versus them, then he doesn't deserve to be that number two receiver.
Jeff, you got any comments?
It's nice to hear from Vic. He knows what he's talking about, and a lot of information to make decisions on, and you know, it's all about the details. A lot of guys aren't relevant unless you're in a really deep league, those 16-team leagues, you know, any skilled player with a pulse is on somebody's roster, you know. Every league's different.
Well, as I said before, that supposedly they're going to play Randall Cobb, including in the backfield. They're going to do somewhat what they do in Minnesota with Percy Harvin. I think Randall Cobb, he's got the same type of makeup as Percy Harvin, give or take. But he almost looks like if you put Randall Cobb in a Viking uniform, you probably couldn't tell him and Percy Harvin apart. And they want to use that explosiveness that he has from the backfield, like they were doing against the 49ers, and also out wide. Round Horn, what do you guys think of whether Randall Cobb is a sneaky play or a good play tonight?
Same order, or it doesn't matter?
Doesn't make it. Anybody who jumps in, Vic, go ahead. It seemed like you had a voice. Go ahead.
No, Black has something to say. I'm not going to cut him off.
Go ahead, Black.
I wasn't talking.
That was me.
Go ahead, Vic.
I like Cobb this week. I think he's a good start. I mean, I think they already kicked off, but you got to keep an eye on the injuries because that creates opportunities for another player. And some backups are just backups, but this Cobb has talent. So he showed something, and who knows, he could show a lot tonight maybe.
I agree with Black. I mean, excuse me, I don't know why Jeff sounds like Black tonight. I don't know what it is. But
what?
Maybe it's because I'm on a – you sound like Black for a second to me. But I would say this. Randall Cobb is a guy I would play. The reason why I say that is because exactly what Jerry mentioned. Last week he touched the ball out of the backfield 4 or 5 times, and he caught some balls as a receiver, and he's a return guy. I mean, that's the triple threat from a 2-year player. And with your boy – going down this week and possibly for a couple more weeks, Cobb is somebody that should not be on the waiver wire anymore and should be in somebody's starting lineup, especially if a team is weak at wide receiver. I honestly would have got him over Ogletree, who were the two hot wide receivers this past week. That's just my opinion.
And just for this side note, in one of my 12-team PPR leagues, I was able to grab, and I was the eighth on the waiver wire. I was able to grab Randall Cobb as the eighth pick on the waiver wire, and which today was the day that you get the waiver wire picks. And believe it or not, I don't know if you guys how you guys feel about this, but believe it or not, when I looked to see who had picked Ogletree up, no one had.
Which league is it?
This is a league that I'm in with my family, and it's a very competitive league, and I was very surprised to see that no one picked Ogletree up. So what did I do? I immediately picked him up, and I'm doing what I suggested to do with Alshon Jeffrey. I put him on my bench because I wanted to see if he's for real or not, if he's going to do what Laurent Robinson did last year. I don't know if Black's got any input on that, but I wanted to see what he's going to do this week
before I input him. Of course I have input on that. You need to watch the production of Miles Austin. If Miles Austin falls, it's going to be a tough thing for Kevin Ogletree to step into that Lamar Robinson role. But if Miles Austin is out there making good plays, he didn't look too good in week one. But if he's out there making plays, Ogletree will be your Lamar Robinson for this year.
Anybody else got a viewpoint on that?
Got a question real quick. Would you consider Ogletree a one-hit wonder just like some people are saying about Aldrick Hendrickson on the Redskins? Aldrick stepped in for Pierre Garçon, and, you know, had more receptions and targets than Santana Moss. So
Well, I picked up the guy you mentioned. I think this is my first time owning the skin besides Roy Helu. Robinson is going to be that number two receiver, and Garcon looks to be having some type of problem. So I will expect the young man to get some more targets this week. But Ogletree, I don't expect Ogletree to be a one-hit wonder. Ogletree had some personal things going on in his life at the time that kind of prevented him from the years past from being productive. All that's behind him now. He has a renewed focus, a renewed effort. I think he's going to have a big year.
Okay. And before we go any further, I have a call from the 301. I want to bring this call in, and I have no idea who this is. Caller from the 301, welcome to the FSP Cruise Show. State your name and tell us what you got to say.
Hey, guys, this is Steve from Olney. How are you guys doing tonight?
My man, Steve. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, Black, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you looking in your league, man?
I don't know. I'm starting to wonder here. I should have there's a couple of moves. There's a guy who presented a trade, and I want to get your take, guys, on this one, all right? He wants Reggie Wayne and Trent Richardson, and he's willing to give me Larry Fitzgerald and Reggie Bush.
Ooh.
What do you guys think of that?
Oh, man. Larry Fitz, to bring up Fitz in these type of trades, Fitz is down without a quarterback down there. They're starting Kevin Cobb this week versus New England. I don't make that trade. I don't know about this guy.
Thanks.
But I don't
agree.
Make that trade.
What do you guys? What would hold you back from that trade?
Well, go ahead. For me?
Go ahead, Vic.
Go ahead, Black. No. Black got to explain why he would hold back from that trade first.
I just don't like the quarterback situation in Arizona. And Reggie Bush, he doesn't excite me as a running back in Miami.
Okay.
Plus the fact is Reggie Bush is not a durable running back. Last year was the first year that he was able to play the amount of games that he played. I wouldn't guarantee that he's going to do that, especially the fact is that Miami's going to rely on him heavily because they really don't have any weapons down in Miami. Larry Fitzgerald, Kevin Cobb doesn't throw the ball as deep with Larry Fitzgerald as John Skelton, who has a bigger arm, does. Larry Fitzgerald's numbers drop when Kevin Cobb is in the lineup and is a quarterback. So just like Black, it's close, but the tipping point for me is Reggie Bush versus Trent Richardson. That's really what the deal is for me. And I couldn't do that deal because Trent Richardson, to me, has too much upside.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say this is it. I think Joker has something to say too, but I think I would give it a week or two. Honestly, I'd tell him hold on a week or two because I want to see what Trent Richardson will do in the run game. Obviously, he didn't do well last week, and that was the Philadelphia Eagles defense. He has a chance to shine this week and help Brandon Weaver look good. Reggie Wayne is going to be the go-to guy for Andrew Luck. We already know that. Just as Jerry said, we have no idea what's going to happen in Arizona because Fitzgerald has a carousel of quarterbacks. I think you give it a week or two, make them stew for a week or two, okay? And then, if you feel the need to, pull the trigger. But I just got to see what Trent's going to do because I'm not sold on him yet in Cleveland. That's
okay.
Just me.
Joker, you got any comment on that?
Yeah, full disclosure, Steve's a friend of the show, and I already talked to him about this deal earlier. But I got to be honest. I figure it's cool. You know, he'll hear from you guys. He already heard my opinion. I like this trade a little more than you guys, but I wouldn't pull the trigger on it. I mean, in the past, Fitzgerald has still put up numbers, even with Cobb or Skelton playing quarterback, but they weren't as good as the numbers he was putting up with Kurt Warner. And it's a PPR league, I believe, which gives Bush a little more value, but not a great history of durability with him. I would see if you could pursue other trade options with this guy. And it doesn't hurt to wait a week or two. You could always get back to it.
Yeah, and I did come back with a counter. I said, look, because he wanted David Wilson, so I was proposing David Wilson and Reggie Wayne for Fitz and Bush, and he said no. And then I even offered him Michael Floyd, and he scoffed at that. So a 3-for-2.
Well, I'll tell you this. That these guys aren't that high on Reggie Bush, but I'm kind of high on him as far as with Miami. And I'll tell you why. Because Bush actually will be the workhorse for Miami.
That's the problem.
Thomas is injured, right? They brought in that kid last week to help him out. But is this a PPR or is it standard scoring? Because it's standard scoring, no. But if it's a PPR, Reggie Bush can help you out big time, catching the ball, running the ball, just touching the ball.
Right.
You know, and Trent Richardson is going to be a banger. Got it. But he's not going to be the one catching the ball a lot.
Right.
And I think for the situation, Fitz and Wayne wash out. Now, Fitz is obviously the better receiver, in my opinion, but because of their situations with their quarterback, they wash out, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I said.
That's fair.
Well, Vic, my question is this. If the two wide receivers wash each other out, and like I said, Reggie Bush, he's only had 1 year since he's been in the league of lasting the majority of the season. And that to me is not something to take a trade on when you have a rookie who have a lot of upside, in my opinion.
Also coming off the knee surgery.
I understand that, but
first game action in like since college.
So he's not in game shape. Okay. He, you got to wait and see. You just can't. I wouldn't just jump on this trade right away. This is only the first week going into the second week. So
I would have to say
you may trade away a gem in Trenton Richardson and get Reggie Bush, and he may get hurt in the next 2 or 3 weeks. So
yeah, no doubt.
That's the problem. I mean, any running back can get hurt, but a running back that's habitually year after year gets hurt is a higher risk. So, in my position, I would not even. I don't like Reggie Bush. I was surprised he lasted all last year. I'd be surprised if he lasts this year, especially being the workhorse. When he's the focus of the offense because there's really nothing else they have down there, he's going to get overworked, and that tells me he's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Well,
what do you guys think of David Wilson? You keep him.
Ask Black. How you like David Wilson, Black?
Oh, I love David Wilson. He had a
physical
performance against my Cowboys, so I can't be mad at that. I love David Wilson.
I love David Wilson also. He's a wait and see. Is he going to be a bust or is he going to suck it up and come out and play a lot better than he played in his first game? So.
Right. Hope he doesn't fumble in the next game.
He's in an ideal spot. He was a fumbler in college, but he's in an ideal spot because the starting running back is injury prone, and whoever has Ahmad Brasher should have handcuffed him. But fortunately, you were able to grab David Wilson, so you're in a good position because he has a lot of upside too, especially if Ahmad Brasher doesn't last the whole season.
It's true.
He's a tiki barber, which means you'll get a great bang for your buck, but you're going to need him to hold on to the ball and stay healthy. The problem is,
right.
He's playing for a coach that does not tolerate mistakes, mental or physical. And Wilson is prone to do that. That's his M.O. He needs to get he will not be a starter until maybe halfway in the season or if Bradshaw gets hurt. So
right.
if you're looking to use him, don't expect much out of him if you're trying to do it week to week.
Right.
I would actually use him as trade bait for people that are high on him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do.
So go to, like, the Ahmad Bradshaw owner and see what he'll give the handcuff.
There you go. And there's Randall Cobb running the ball out the backfield right there, and he hurt his left arm. He's coming out the game. Just wanted to put that out there.
Wow.
Oh, thanks.
Hey, you know what, guys? I have a question for you. This is just a fantasy issue. I'm in this league, and a guy last night, he bet half of his free agent money on Randall Cobb, $500. And then he came back and won him, and then he came back and said, I didn't mean to say 500. I meant 50. And other people bid for him. And everybody said, was that? What do you think? What would you do in that scenario when that happens?
Okay, Commissioner. You're Commissioner Fuley's. Answer this question.
Which one, me or Black? Because Black's Commissioner as well.
No, I'm talking to you, Vic, first, then I go to Black.
Here's the problem. It's a bid, and it gives you opportunity to verify your bid. If he double-clicks, he double-clicks. It's not like I'm going to go back and give him his money on his budget, because if I do that, that means I'm going to give everybody else back their money on their budget, and then what I'll do is I'll take the player off of his team
right.
and let everybody bid on that player.
Right.
And that way, no mistakes will be made. Because if he didn't mean to do 500, cool. And you won't mind if I take this off of your this player off of your roster, put him back on the waiver wire, and let you guys have a bidding time for him within the next day or two. That's what I would do. I mean, it's the fair thing to do. But I'm not Black, Roger Black Goodell, so we'll see what Roger Black Goodell would do.
What would Roger Black Goodell do?
Unfortunately, in this age of Jerry Joneses and Daniel Snyder clones and fantasy, if that guy bid $500 on the player in my league, that's what he paid for. There are no refunds.
Enjoy
the rest of your budget if you have something else.
Thank you. And let me tell you, in full disclosure, after 20 emails, the decision was we don't want to tank this process nor this league. This guy double-clicked, like Victor said. And you know what? I'm sorry. He should have known better. I bid $50 for him, too, and I didn't get him. So guess what? It wasn't like he was the only one bidding on him. So he got Randall Cobb for $500.
Wow.
He was pissed.
Is this for
pissed.
Money?
What are you doing?
Is this for money?
It's for money, yes. It's only $100. But that's the right answer. You guys all resoundingly said it. And it took these guys like half a day to come to that decision.
I wouldn't tolerate that. I ruled my league with an iron fist. I called myself Black Adele. Once that $500 bid is in, that's it. No refund.
Right.
That's true.
And you know, at the end of the day, the guy, I don't even think the guy was, after they made the decision, the guy didn't say anything. But, I mean, I'd be embarrassed to say that, actually. I'd rather just chalk it up to I bought one Randall Cobb for $500 and call it a day.
Well, hey,
what,
Steve, there's
what,
a guy in our league right now that bid $130 for Alfred Morris from the Redskins.
We're talking about Ricky. We're talking about Ricky. Ricky Pretty Ricky.
These numbers are just astronomical, and I have no idea why you're bidding anything over $100 for any player.
Some guy bid $250 of $1,000 for guess who? Our friend Ogletree from the Cowboys.
Oh, well, that's very wise. That's a very wise bid.
You wouldn't do that, would you? Any of you guys?
Your budget is what?
$1,000.
Okay.
A fourth of your budget.
Wow. No, I don't think I would have bet that much.
50. Oh, yeah, that's a little high.
Yeah, I wouldn't have bet $250 for that, no.
There are people, they're getting giddy, though. It's like, you know, what Jeff says, that some of the best moves he's made are the ones he did not make.
Yes. In fact, the budget I have, if the player can't be had for a dollar, I don't get him.
You are El Cheapo.
Yeah, but you know what? There's something to be said for that, because come week 13, you'll have money.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, that
well,
makes perfect.
Yep.
That makes perfect sense. Well, look, guys, don't let me keep you. Thank you again for all your advice, and I hope you guys win this week.
All right, Steve.
Thanks
good
a lot.
Luck.
Same to you.
See
same
you guys,
to you, and call again.
I'll talk to you soon. Take
yes.
care.
Okay.
All right. So, does he want you or I to win, Jerry, since we play each other in one of the leagues? I wonder.
Yes, that's never humble and always talking. That's the league I won last year. That's the league I happen to be the reigning champ in. Am I right about
but
that, Mr. Gardner?
But you're a chump. That's all that matters.
Okay.
You're a chump this year.
Right now I'm 0-1, and Mr. Gardner is 1-0. And it looks like Mr. Gardner may very well
be
0-2, and Mr. Gardner is favored to win this contest. But
remember, gentlemen, it's not how you start, but how you finish.
I was just about to say something to that effect, Black. This is week two. I walked into the playoffs 7-7, and I walked out a champion. So it is what it is last year. And yes, Mr. Gardner, you may have the advantage now, but this is only Thursday. Come Sunday or Monday, whatever it is, we'll see what the result will be, and then we'll go from there. But let's move on to besides talking about fantasy, I wanted to talk also about, we got about 13 minutes left in the show, and I want to talk about retired, he called for his retirement today. Jim Calhoun stood in his office at Gamble Pavilion, and his wife told him, don't change your mind, okay? Calhoun had stayed at UConn through cancer, a recruiting scandal. He even refused to retire after winning a third national championship because he didn't want a new coach to serve his NCAA suspension. He came back to finish last season after he had an absence from spinal surgery, falling off a bike and doing all kinds of other crazy stuff that's been going on with this guy. He finally called for his retirement, or he finally retired on his terms, and he handpicked the successor, and he had no apologies. Let me play this clip, and then I want to get your guys' comment on the retirement of Mr. One Jim Calhoun.
I feel so blessed today that I have had the opportunity to coach at UConn. It's never been about me. I've just been the focal point. You know, I know I'm sometimes a loud and visible focal point, but you know the old expression, you got to be going in one direction, and I felt the direction was that we could do anything. I know many times that you think that it goes unnoticed, but every time I walk in Gamble Pavilion and the students stand and clap as I walk in, I get chills. It may go unnoticed, but certainly not to me. When you stand the entire game and will never give up on us, it's noticed, maybe not acknowledged. And lastly, the fact you stayed to the very end, that's cool. That is really, really cool. I love this team. They're a group that's going to carry the UConn legacy on, because we do feel we're UConn men. I feel so good about them. Whether what we're playing for UConn. We're playing for the state of Connecticut. And we're playing for our basketball team. I've been asked that question enough times. That the purest part of the game, we're playing for that. And they will. And just as I said to them a few minutes ago, you can separate this, you can't separate a fist. And they will be a fist and a great example of what we want. For all those who have tried to understand me, I don't know how you could do that. I have a difficult time with that concept myself. But more importantly, for all those people who reached out to help us and made the Calhoun's drive to Connecticut 26 and a half years ago awfully special, thank you very, very much.
All right, guys, like I said, Jim Calhoun, 70 years old, was on crutches when he made that speech. Retires as of today. I'm going to Jeff, then Vic, then Black on comments.
You know, he got to give Calhoun a lot of credit. He built that Connecticut program basically from scratch, and that's very, very difficult to do. And this was not a good week for the Big East. Besides his retirement, Notre Dame left the Big East, which they weren't a member for football, but they were a member for every other sport, including basketball. So these are tough times for the Big East, unfortunately.
How many guys know who Scott Van Pelt is? You all know who Scott Van Pelt is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Scott Van Pelt, he does a talk show as well. And he did a commentary about Jim Calhoun. He says he liked the coach but despised the man. And he also posed the question, is the program better off today than it was? I mean, would it be better off today had he stayed versus him retiring now? The question, I mean, the answer is no, because they'll still be on probation. They'll still have to deal with all the allegations that he himself put the school through. Yes, they gained a lot of money, a lot of funding, stuff like that, because of the championships and the things that he's won. But don't forget, Auriemma, the girls' coach, is pretty daggone good himself and brought a little notoriety to the UConn campus as well. I think Calhoun and Don Thompson are a dying breed, those types of coaches. You can't coach like that for too long and expect to continue to win with the new aged athlete. Mac and David Aldridge talked about this on No Chaser a couple weeks ago or a month ago, how kids from AAUs, you know, they have all this talent but can't play defense or the fundamentals. Calhoun wanted to teach that stuff. He couldn't teach these kids. He couldn't. And you have what you have in that program. So I wish him well in his retirement, but that school is going to suffer now and into the future because of the mistakes he made. So you might not see anything coming out of UConn for another 10 years. That's what I think.
Who's next?
First off, let me tip my hat off to Calhoun. Calhoun, way to get out before those sanctions come down on UConn again. What can I say? You gave me great battles, UConn, Georgetown. They were replaying some of that on the ESPN Classic earlier tonight. Definitely going to miss Calhoun in the Big East. Great, great coach. Affix recruiting, kind of questionable, but definitely was a good guy for the Big East. And I can care less about Notre Dame leaving. Good riddance to Notre Dame. Same thing with Syracuse. These guys want to leave the Big East, leave the tradition of one of the greatest basketball college conferences. If you want to do that, go ahead. It's fine. We'll find a way to get everything back together.
Jeff.
You want another 2 cents?
I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Okay.
Jerry.
We talked about... Yeah.
Go.
What's up?
Go.
Excuse me?
We didn't get your comment. Go. Are you okay or are you checking fantasy scores over there? For sure, that's what you're doing.
Anyway, Jim Calhoun, I liked him as a coach. I always liked the way he coached at Connecticut. And right, just like you said, Black, I like those matchups with Georgetown and Connecticut, Syracuse and Connecticut, and any time they were in the big dance in the NCAA tournament, you could always expect, especially if Calhoun was coaching, that the Connecticut team was going to be a tough out. supposedly he wasn't the most cordial guy, but he was a hell of a basketball coach, and the guys that he coached played well for him. So he'll be missing that program. But that program, like the Vic said, is going to suffer for what's been done to it over the years. So we'll see what happens now. Anyway, let's move one more subject, and that's going to be with the be the world of the boxing. I didn't know about this. Black shed some light on that. Mr. Pacquiao is going to be engaging into the ring again on December 8th for a fourth fight against longtime rival Juan Manuel Marquez of Mexico.
Ridiculous.
Now, my question is this. They've fought three times already. I understand that each one of these fights was a good fight. I'm going to ask this for Black, and then I'm going to go around the horn, Black, Vic, and then Jeff. Why do you think they fought three times that the draw for the fourth time is going to be any better, or why would anybody want to see them fight again for the fourth time? Black?
Well, there are a couple of reasons for this. First off, let's go back to Pacquiao's last fight with Timothy Bradley. Highly controversial fight, highly controversial finish. But at the end of the day, the pay-per-view numbers were not where either fighter wanted to be, and there was no interest, particularly for a rematch. Pacquiao did have a rematch clause in his contract for that fight, but because of the low pay-per-view numbers, there was no reason for them to do Bradley-Pacquiao too. Also, we had another thing going on behind the scenes with 50 Cent jumping into the fray now. 50 Cent has left the money team and has gone over to Team Pacquiao to promote something called TMT Productions, where 50 already
what?
Has about... Yes, let me finish. 50 has three or four fighters. He's also bringing Pacquiao into the fold to be Pacquiao's promoter. Not sure when this is taking place, but they are in talks. Pacquiao has acknowledged this. 50 Cent has also acknowledged this. So maybe we'll see a power play with 50 Cent and Pacquiao finally getting that deal done to fight Mayweather.
Wow. Vic?
Yeah, that you know what? I would not be surprised if 50 Cent and Mayweather probably planned that out. Yeah, I'm being a conspiracy theorist, but think about it. If 50 Cent gets involved and becomes his manager, promoter, whatever, yeah, the fight will get done. It'll get done. And Pac-Man will make money, so will Mayweather. But 50 Cent will make money hand over fist. But as far as the fight coming up, I think Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith had a conversation about this today or yesterday. And I agree with Stephen A. Smith. I will not purchase or view any fight that Pacquiao or Mayweather does unless it's against each other. And I agree with that sentiment that no one should purchase any of these fights or go to them until that fight takes place. To show these fighters where the actual power and money is. It's not with them, it's with the viewers of the fights. So that's what I say.
Jeff?
You know, I'm trying to think. I don't follow boxing too closely now. I can't remember modern era of boxing last time two guys fought four times. That's ridiculous. But Vic hit the nail on the head that, you know, fans got to put their foot down. And, you know, they charge $50 for some of these fights. And I just scratch my head and think, who's paying that? And there's obviously a big fight everybody wants to see, so let's do it instead of two guys getting it on for the fourth time. That's ridiculous.
Well, I totally agree because for the simple fact is I'm not interested in seeing somebody fight for the fourth time. It looks like they're in my opinion, grabbing the straws here, trying to get just an easy payday for each other and pull an okey-doke on the general public. Bring me a fight that I want to see, not a rehash for the fourth time. That's that I can't see it. People will pay but not me, for one. With that being said, we got about 20 seconds. We're going to be running over. Well, thank you for all who is listening to the show now. Tune in next week, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. FSP Crew Show will be back. Me, Black the Bookie, and Jeff the Joker. And now we're in overtime. With that being said, going to go around the horn, and you guys have your parting shots, whatever it may be, and then I'll finish it off and we can get out of here. Jeff, Vic, and then Black.
It's been a pleasure. Join us next week.
I just want to say that I love you. I love the money that Jay's going to give me. I love the shows that we all do. And I love the listeners, you guys. Because without you, there would be no FSP brand, no crew show, no master plan, none of this stuff. So I greatly appreciate you. And ATM, oh, it's on Saturday, son. I'm coming at you live and in living color. We're going to talk about our game. Because I'm coming fully loaded and ready to shoot.
No problem, man. No problem. You do what you do. It's no big deal. Black, let's get out of here because I'm tired of listening to Mr. Gardner right now.
Oh, wow. That is a defeated man. That is really a defeated man right there.
Before you go, Black, right now, I got so much fantasy on my plate. I'm dealing with a fantasy playoff that it don't look good for me. And then I'm also dealing with all my fantasy football teams, too. So I'm kind of, like, burnt out, and I really need to get out of here and go to sleep and just sleep this night off. Anyway, go ahead, Black. I'm sorry.
Appreciate the listeners for calling in, tuning in. Speaking of the fight game, two big fights this weekend involving my man, Saul Canelo Alvarez, and also Margarito Jr. Camacho Jr., excuse me. Two big fights this weekend. One is on Showtime, the other is on HBO pay-per-view, so make sure you check those out this weekend. If you're playing fantasy, have a good fantasy weekend.
Okay, for Black, Jeff the Joker, Vic Gardner, and myself, I want to thank you for listening. Tune in tomorrow. It'll be 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be Mac and myself would be No Chaser. We're going to be talking about sports. I have a funny feeling that I'm going to try to pull Mac into a political talk, but we'll see what happens. And then on Saturday, be the FSP Crew Show. FSP Show. Vic will be hosting. He's back. And I'll be co-hosting that, and we're going to be going talking some smack talk about our fantasy teams. And then on 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday, I'll be talking about fantasy, stardom, sit-ems, how I did last week, and hopefully I can give you some tips on what you should play this week. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time will be the master plan. And then Tuesday, Compassion Dikini. Listen to Kim Fun. She is very very enlightening in your life other than sports. You'll be surprised on the amount of knowledge and wisdom Kim can display at 4:30 Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday. All those shows under one umbrella. And I hope you can find something that fits your niche. From all of us to all of you, thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. And I'm going to get out of here as soon as I find the theme song. And Mr. Vic, since you're here, you might as well do what we do.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what you've been listening to.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy, sports, and politics crew. Yeah, check.
Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics.